First, President Trump's new pick for the head of Indian Health Services, Robert Weaver, is pending Senate approval after some reporting raised questions about possible misrepresentation of hospital job experience he had listed on his resume. Weaver is a member of the Kapow tribe of Oklahoma and has a background in selling insurance to his own tribe and recently to other tribes. Our next guest has been writing about the nominee and the role of Indian Health Services. Mark Trant joins us now. He's a professor of journalism at the University of North Dakota and an independent journalist on his blog, TrantReports.com. He's also a member of Idaho's Shoshone Bannock tribe. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, there's this controversy about this nominee for the head of Indian Health Services, and I think a lot of people without experience with that that organization are wondering, what is Indian Health Services? Can you tell us a little bit about its role and its history?
Well, it's actually interesting because almost all of the media accounts of the Indian Health Service still write about it as if it was this giant government organization that provides health on Indian reservations across the country. And indeed, when it was formed, that's exactly what it did. But now 60% of the Indian Health Service is actually just funding tribal organizations that provide health care and often do a much better job of that.
And when I've been reading up on this, the phrase chronically underfunded is often used, at least for the past, of Indian Health Service. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Indian Health Service works primarily with appropriations. And what's really happening is there's two things. One is the Indian Health Service, as we know it, the government doctors and the clinics run by the federal government only get those appropriations pretty much, whereas the tribal facilities get a great deal of their resources from Medicaid. In fact, in Alaska, Arizona, New Mexico, several other states, Medicaid is actually a bigger funder of Indian Health Service for these tribal programs than the Indian Health Service itself.
And talk about the different challenges of the Indian Health Service. As I understand it, people might think, oh, this would be a clinic on a reservation. This also could be services provided in urban areas. This could be anywhere in the country.
That's true, but Indian Health Service, about 99% goes to reservation funding. Only about 1% goes to urban areas, except for, again, Medicaid would be an exception to that. One of the challenges is, I think in terms of story, is the Indian Health Service really has some chronic management problems. And part of it is from this underfunding, but part of it is this changing mission, where now it's not just an operations agency, but a funding agency. And the two ideas are really different in how you kind of achieve excellence. One of the stories that I don't think is told very often about the Indian health system, and I use that instead of service because it's more inclusive, is that there are some pockets of real excellence. In fact, better health care delivered than the rest of the country at a far lower cost.
Talk about those success stories. How did they get there?
They got there primarily by paying attention to what can we do with the resources. In fact, there's a great story out of Anchorage. The Alaska Native Medical Center is one of those really outstanding facilities. And when they were building a new hospital, they surveyed the membership that used it. And they said, what's the biggest problem with the health care you've been getting? And virtually everybody said, we wait too long. We end up spending all day there and we don't know what's going on. And so when they built the facility, they built these really tiny waiting rooms and got everyone in and out. In fact, there are signs there that says, if you've been here longer than 15 minutes, something's wrong. Talk to us. And they designed the entire system around that complaint. And it's really put the patient in charge, saying, I know what's best for my health care, and here's what we need to do, working with the medical team.
We are talking with Mark Tran from the University of North Dakota about the Indian Health Service and, as he says, the Indian health system around the country. So, Mark, that takes us to what's in the news now. Robert Weaver, President Trump's nominee as the new director of the Indian Health Service. Talk about his background a little bit.
Well, his background is primarily insurance and insurance business. And most of the people who've run the Indian Health Service, well, all but one, have been physicians. And not only that, all of them have had multiple higher education degrees, such as MBAs or Masters of Public Health, other higher education degrees. Mr. Weaver was not a college graduate. He attended college and pretty much cut his teeth in the insurance business. And managing a very complicated science-based organization, that will be a tremendous challenge. He would be in charge of people running hospitals, and he would not be qualified to run those hospitals.
And there's been some controversy over how he's represented his resume. Is that right?
Yeah, early on, he tried to make it look like he was a graduate. And it was only after calls by the Wall Street Journal that found out that indeed he had been misrepresenting his college education.
Now, you wrote that maybe not this particular individual, but maybe somebody with an insurance background wouldn't be so terrible for the system. Why is that?
Well, there are two people that I would put really high on the list, and they're both former state health care directors, and so they've worked with Medicaid. And Medicaid is really the essential fuel for improving the funding mechanism, and somebody who really understands that could really help the system, I think, a great deal. Currently, the current director of public health in Alaska for the state of Alaska is Alaska Native, and she would be a fantastic director because of that experience.
Now, a question that might be on some people's minds is, why do we have a separate Indian health system and this Indian health service in the first place?
Sure, that's a great question. And actually, a lot of people call it prepaid health care because when you look at the original treaties, almost all of them promise health care as part of the deal. So to renege on that basically would say we bought land that made the United States and promised health care as part of that purchase price, and now we're changing our mind. So it's kind of problematic. It's a very direct promise made by treaties.
And do you think that that promise has been kept, again, thinking about underfunding of the past?
I don't think so. I mean, in the sense that, twofold. One, the money is not where it ought to be, that's for sure. But that money is also not the issue. It's what kind of healthcare system do people want and what can they get there? And one thing that I think is really important to understand about the Indian health system is that if you look at health statistics from, say, the 1970s, in 1974, Congress passed the Indian Healthcare Improvement Act. The rate of improvement is stunning. The Native American population was like 40 years behind the general population in terms of early death, and now it's just 4 or 5 years. It's just this really stunning level of improvement. And so I think that's something that all Americans ought to take credit for, saying, you know what, this really did work.
Our healthcare system in the United States, the whole general system is, I think, complicated, fair to say. What would you like to see change? How could we take advantage of the innovations you've pointed toward and replicate them elsewhere in the country?
Well, we have so many institutional forces that kind of push back. I'll give you another one. We've found it's been really hard to get dentists to rural communities, not just Indian country, but all rural communities. And starting in Alaska, then Washington State and Oregon, tribes have experimented with taking young people right out of high school and doing high-level training and creating a mid-level practice. And it's very cost-efficient. It's much less expensive than a dentist, and it gets people with oral health. But the American Dental Association hasn't liked that idea at all and has been fighting it pretty much in every state where it's come up.
And look, getting back to the Senate now and Robert Weaver, his nomination as director of this agency, should the Senate confirm him, do you think?
I think it would be problematic, and partly because of his education, but partly because of misrepresentation. If you're going to go into a Senate nomination, you really have to lay out all your cards so that people know what you're dealing with. It makes it tough on those who advocate for him.
Do you think this nomination is a sign maybe that the administration doesn't take Indian healthcare seriously?
Wow. That's certainly a plausible explanation. I wouldn't directly say that, but there's nothing to undercut that, that's for sure.
Is there any movement out there to try to replace Robert Weaver with a couple of the people that you mentioned that you thought would be better directors?
No, not yet. And part of the problem with this administration on healthcare is this really direct, constant attack on Medicaid. And if you look at all the programs across the country that benefit really a variety of people, but especially Native Americans, Medicaid would have to be toward the top of the list. It's just cost-effective in terms of covering people, cost-effective in terms of administration and its costs, and actually delivering health care.
We'll leave it there for now. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
That was Mark Trant, professor of journalism at the University of North Dakota and a member of Idaho's Shoshone-Bannock tribe. You can find him at trantreports.com. He joined us to talk about Indian health services and the Indian health system and President Trump's new pick for its director.